In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our epistle reading for this Transfiguration Sunday provides us with something we are told that we ought to consider. Consider Jesus, the author of Hebrews says in verse 1. And then he tells us something so important that it takes up a whole line of Holy Scripture. He says in verse 3, Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. In other words, you should know that Jesus is more deserving of glory than Moses. This truth is so critical that the bold title that was added to our Bibles to separate one section from another says, Jesus greater than Moses. And you can check later on your Bible, if you look there, that there are the bold, those bold parts in the Bible. Those were added later. And it says there, Jesus greater than Moses. And of course, I know that this truth has been firmly established by multiple witnesses throughout the Bible. So I have to say that this truth sounds a bit obvious on my ears today. Because no one in this room, I think, has gathered here today to glorify Moses. Or with consideration in our heart as to who is greater, Moses or Jesus. We know Jesus is greater than Moses, who was pretty great himself. Jesus is greater than Moses, who was pretty great himself. But before we move on with this settled truth toward anything else, I would like to ask you for a few minutes to put yourselves in the place of three folks who don't yet know what we know. Peter and James and John. They, of course, are living this moment without the clarity that has been given to you and me, inheritors of the confession that our great high priest Jesus has given us. For those three men at that time, the time of our gospel reading today, for those three men, that anyone or anything was greater than Moses might indeed have come as a shock. I looked up Mount Tabor in Israel and found that it's almost 1,900 feet high. A difficult climb. Maybe more difficult for me than for Jesus and the disciples. They seem so much sturdier than I. I imagine that, you know, when they were called to accompany Jesus on this special little moment away from the others, likely quickened steps for a time, but as the incline increase on Mount Tabor, likely weariness set in. And whenever I walk on anything other than flat ground, I keep my eyes down, thinking about little more than the placement of the next step. I see roots and rocks. Others may take more time looking around and taking everything in. Not me. I tend to focus more on not falling and breathing so I can make up there. But at least assume with me that Peter and James and John are much better at mountain climbing than I am, and maybe you are. And if these steps came easily to them, it isn't hard to imagine that they could have spent time climbing these rocky places, thinking about the grand stories they had heard about the heroes of old. Those people who had met God on the tops of mountains. likely for the three disciples climbing up after Jesus, when they had been small children and grandma and grandpa turned to story time before bed, the true stories of these heroes might have gained the most interest. David the king, Elijah the prophet, Joseph the prince of Egypt. But none took the hushed tones and the serious leaning forward attention that came when voices told the story of Moses. None. Lamps burning low and warm, light flickering across the face of a loved one when they might say, even his birth was almost impossible. But oh, I'm sure I've told this one. Let's move now. No, Papa, tell it again. Don't skip a moment, the little children might have said. Bush in flames. Then the escape. The water parting. The words of the Lord written in stone. The face glowing and water from rocks. And don't forget, don't ever forget the words we read. So many were written by this mighty servant of God, whom none has surpassed. None has seen God quite the way old Moses did. Those are true and world-forming stories that Peter, James, and John grew up with. And suddenly, they find themselves not just with Jesus, but with whom? With Moses himself and Elijah too. Consider Jesus, the author of Hebrews gently implores us. Consider him. The voice of the Father was more absolute, clearer and less of an invitation and more of a command. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Jesus is more worthy of glory than others they idolize or idealize. Jesus is greater. Consider him. Peter had mentioned what seemed like a reasonable idea. Lord, what if we stay a while? Let's build three tents here. But did he mistake the moment as a chance for them to glory in Moses and Elijah? That is, not recognizing that they had follow up and will soon follow down the mountain the glory of God himself in the person of Jesus? Maybe. Listen to him. My son, consider Jesus, would you? So much more worthy of glory than Moses. Of course, what you know and what Peter, James, and John would soon learn is that God's version of glory looks surprisingly like what you and I might consider shame. They don't know that yet. They heard about it. And at least they don't know the gravity of it yet. Consider with me the kinds of things the disciples may have thought about on the way down the mountain. If while walking up they remember what their families had told them about Moses, maybe on the way down, they thought about what they could tell their families about Jesus. If not that day, then someday soon. Someday soon enough, John wrote down so much of what Jesus said and did. And maybe he had moments like this in mind when he was writing down. Consider Jesus, who is more worthy of glory than Moses. Moses is from old, goes way back, People have been flocking to him for years, even today. But Jesus? Jesus was with God in the beginning. Look at all Moses did. Separated the sea. But Jesus? Jesus walked on water. Moses caused bread to be found on the ground after taking his concerns to God. But Jesus? Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus gives us his body and blood. Moses made water flow from a rock. But Jesus? Jesus is living water. Water that gives us through baptism. Moses wrote all these sacred words, but Jesus is the Word. The very Word of God, the Word made flesh, as John wrote. And really, if you hear Moses correctly, he is whispering to you that you ought to consider Jesus. That glory the disciples saw on Moses' face there on the mountain, that glory is the reflected glory of Jesus. That promised land toward which he journeyed, that's resting Jesus. Moses took our people from slavery toward freedom. But that Exodus, as glorious as it was, it's just not even on the same level as the Exodus that Jesus performs, the departure that he is talking with Moses and Elijah that day on the Transfiguration. The Exodus through death to life, with the promise of the same for all his people. Slavery conquered, not of old Pharaoh in Egypt, but is slavery to sin and death and the power of the devil. So live and believe in him, and you will never die. The author to the Hebrews ends our reading today with words like this, words that might satisfy the most loyal defender of Moses. It says, Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, but Jesus is faithful over God's house as a son. And what is the difference, you might ask? Well, I think we ought to ask John. He explained the idea so beautifully. In chapter 8 of his gospel, John says this: servant does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So do consider Jesus, would you? Because he does offer that freedom today. Freedom to live in him and die in him. And considering him, pay attention to the voice of God too and listen to Jesus. Not just what he says about you and your life, but also the words he had spoken to his disciples just days before the Transfiguration. And then again, on the way down the mountain, that he must die and rise and lead from the cross the most glorious exodus the world has ever seen. He is worth more glory than Moses. And of course, you knew that coming in. But consider him the next time you think about the greatness you have seen and heard about. Even the great heroes of faith that God has placed around you today. Be thankful for them. But know that Jesus is worthy of even more glory. So listen to him and follow him. And do know that steps down the mountain can be dicey. If you remember only to, you know, to view and forget to watch where you are going, if you don't look your steps, Well, you would fail to see him walk to the cross. Fail to know that you can meet God in that mountain too, Calvary. Follow him to Calvary often, especially as we start once again the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday this week. Our journey to the cross and then to the resurrection. And consider Jesus, who was with God in the beginning, who is the glory of the Father among us. He has dwelt among us and brings light among us and says to all who believe in him that you too can be daughters and sons of God. And if he says it, it's true. Because if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.